In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning. This is Rich Schmidt coming to you from our studios right here at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And a very pleasant and wonderful good morning to you. I trust you're having a great day, getting started off on a good foot this morning. Well, we'd like to invite you to come to something else that I think would really be an encouragement to you and an enjoyment as well as a great time around Christmas. And that is coming to our Christmas pageant, our children's Christmas pageant, December 13th at 6 p.m. And that pageant will be entitled The Birth of Jesus. You don't want to miss it. If you can come again on December 13th at 6 p.m. and enjoy us right here at Brookside, you will see a wonderful children's Christmas pageant bringing honor to our Savior Jesus Christ. If by chance you can't make it but would like to see the pageant, you can go to our website at www.brooksidebc.org. And you can also live stream that. If you go to the top of the page, you can pick it up and live stream that. So again, December 13th at 6 p.m., if you're available, come on over and enjoy this wonderful, blessed time right here at Brookside Baptist Church. Well, we've been talking about terrorism, today's trials, and a Christian response. And we're going to get into that in just a moment and pick up where we left off. I'd also like to invite you to go to my website at prophecyfocusministries.com. We do seminars, we do services, whether it's one Sunday message or a whole day Sunday or a full weekend or actually 3-4 day prophecy conferences. We'd love to come to your church no matter how big or how small. We don't charge for our ministry and we do preach the prophetic word. And again, if you're interested, just simply go to the website prophecyfocusministries.com and you can check us out there and all of our contact information is listed. Well, again, let's talk this morning about remembrance. Many of us, unfortunately, have a very vivid remembrance of something that took place on September 11th, 2001. And by the way, this information is available at a website, www.history.com, which is where the majority of what I'll be sharing with you came from this morning, and I'd be happy to share the website specifically with you. If you'll write us at our website, we'll send that information to you. I vividly recall where I was. I vividly recall watching the events unfold as the terrorist attacks began on American soil. A major, major attack took place against us right here in America. As you may recall, there were 19 militants involved on that horrific event. It was an extremist group, an Islamic extremist group known as Al-Qaeda, which hijacked 4 different airliners and carried out suicide attacks against targets in the United States. 2 of the planes were flown into the towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. A 3rd plane hit the Pentagon just outside of Washington, and if you'll recall, the 4th plane crashed into a field in Pennsylvania. On that fateful day, over 3,000 American people, or people in America, some from foreign lands that were visiting, were killed, murdered during the attacks in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania, including more than 400 police officers and firefighters. As Christians, as American citizens, as people with a heart, I'd like us to take a few moments to remember what terrorism brought to our American shores. On September 11, 2001, at 8:45 a.m. on a clear Tuesday morning, an American Airlines Boeing 767 loaded with 20,000 gallons of jet fuel crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. I vividly recall the first reports that I saw. They thought maybe someone had veered off track or it was a small little plane, and everyone was taken off guard as to what took place. At first impact, there were only a handful that thought maybe this was a terrorist attack, but of course the events began to unfold. The impact of that first plane with a gaping burning hole near the 80th floor of the 110-story skyscraper, killing hundreds of people and trapping hundreds more on higher floor, As the evacuation of the tower and its twin got underway, television cameras, of course, were broadcasting the live images. 18 minutes after that first plane struck, a second Boeing 767, United Airlines Flight 175, appeared out of the sky, turned sharply toward the World Trade Center, and sliced into the South Tower near the 60th floor. The collision caused a massive explosion that showered burning debris over surrounding buildings in the street below. America was under attack. The attackers were Islamic terrorists from Saudi Arabia and several other Arab nations. Terrorists, reportedly financed by Saudi fugitive Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda terrorist organization. They're allegedly acting in retaliation for America's support of Israel, its involvement in the Persian Gulf War, and its continued military presence in the Middle East. And they were going to show America what they thought about that. Some of the terrorists had lived in the United States for more than a year and had taken flying lessons at American commercial flight schools. Others had slipped into the country in the months before September 11th and acted as the muscle in the operation. The 19 terrorists easily smuggled box cutters and knives through security at three East Coast airports and boarded four flights bound for California, chosen because the planes were loaded with fuel for the long transcontinental journey. Soon after takeoff, the terrorists commandeered the four planes and took the controls, transforming those ordinary commuter jets into guided missiles. As millions of us watched the events unfolding in New York, American Airlines Flight 77 circled over downtown Washington, D.C., and slammed into the west side of the Pentagon military headquarters at 9:45 a.m. Jet fuel from the Boeing 757 caused a devastating inferno that led to the structural collapse of a portion of the giant concrete building at the Pentagon. All told, 125 military personnel and civilians were killed in the Pentagon, along with all 64 people aboard that jetliner. Less than 15 minutes after the terrorists struck the nerve center of the United States military, the horror in New York took a catastrophic turn for the worse when the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed in a massive cloud of dust and smoke. The structural steel skyscraper, built to withstand winds in excess of 200 miles per hour and a large conventional fire, could not withstand the tremendous heat generated by the burning jet fuel. At 10:30 a.m., the other Trade Center tower collapsed. Close to 3,000 people died in that event. Horrible, horrible issues. Meanwhile, a fourth California-bound plane, United Flight 93, was hijacked about 40 minutes after leaving Newark, and that one, as you know, also crashed. There were multiple heroes that were on that particular plane. One of the passengers, a man named Thomas Burnett Jr., told his wife over the phone, if you may recall, that I know we're all going to die. There's three of us who are going to do something about it. I love you, honey. Another passenger, Todd Beamer, was heard saying, are you guys ready? Let's roll, over an open line. Sandy Bradshaw, a flight attendant, called her husband, explained that she had slipped into a galley and was filling pitchers with boiling water. Her last words to him were, everyone's running to first class. I've got to go. Bye. They were setting up for their attack. The passengers fought the four hijackers and are suspected to have attacked the cockpit with a fire extinguisher. The plane then flipped over and sped toward the ground at upwards of 500 miles per hour, crashing in a rural field in western Pennsylvania at 10:10 a.m. All 45 people aboard were killed. What was its intended target? We don't know. Was it the White House, the United States Capitol, Camp David? Was it one of the several nuclear power plants in Maryland? We'll never know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how do we respond to all this as Christians? Operation Enduring Freedom took place, the American-led international effort to oust the Taliban regime in Afghanistan and destroy Osama bin Laden's terrorist network. But did it work? Has terrorism left our shores? Have we been free of terrorism since this horrific event took place? We all know the answer. It's still here. It's still strong. It's still across the world, and it's still right here at the shores of America. Well, let us think about what God asked us to do as Christians. Let me take you back to a time when another horrific event took place. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. A governmental leader named Pilate was in possession of an individual named Jesus Christ, who he had in prison. The people that were anti-Christian, if you will, at that time, wanted a horrific outcome for the Lord Jesus. And Pilate asked those people, he's like, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all yelled out and said to Pilate, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, charging at him, screaming at him, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands and said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." The people yelled out in their extremism, "His blood be on us and on our children." Sounds very familiar to the type of extremism and radicalism that's taking place in our world today. And when Pilate had him scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. "No, Pilate, you didn't wash your hands of it. You took place in it." Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then what did they do? They spat on him. They took the reed and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put on his own clothes, and led him away to be crucified. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this. Christian, let me ask you this. Are we going to forget what took place on September 11th? I highly doubt it. During our lifetime, we'll remember it. We'll remember the horrific events that took place. But let me ask you this. Will you forget one of the most important events ever to take place in history, which took place almost 2,000 years ago now? And that is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us as Christians, we take what's called communion or the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus asked us, when he told his disciples to remember him, he said, "Listen, here's what I want you to do when you take communion." And here's the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives us. He said this, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And when we take the bread, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." What's the message today? The message is this. Listen, terrorism exists. It's horrible. It's horrific. But we need to remember the one that truly gives life, that truly transforms lives, that truly can take those that are indoctrinated in radical Islamic extremism or other forms of extremism. There's only one answer to the question of where do I find eternal life? Where do I find the real God, the true God of the Bible? And that's in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, if you've ever trusted Jesus Christ, have you ever done that? If not, we entreat you to do so and to trust Christ, for he is the answer. Christian, we need to love those who hate us, love those who persecute us, and be faithful about remembering what Jesus did for us so we can tell others the best news ever given to men, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What will you do with Jesus today?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.